Let's welcome Vicky. Vicky's going to be speaking to us, carrying on our series from 1 Corinthians 13. And today, last week, we had John Brannan, who was brilliant, talking about love is perseveres. I remembered. And this week, Vicky's going to be talking about love is kind. So shall I pray for you, Vicky?
I do need prayer, but I had some earlier. It's really great for us all to be together today. And I just want to say that, you know, church is not about the Sunday meeting. You know, it's about us as a community of people who are loving God, loving each other, and discovering who he's created us to be and being that in the world around us. And knowing Jesus is good news. Does anyone else agree? Yeah. You know, I was just like watching that film and just thinking it's just another demonstration to us of how the gospel is good news. And, you know, Jesus isn't just interested in how we behave. You know, so often we can just put the gospel down to be a whole sin kind of issue. Do I behave the right way or the wrong way? But he's interested in us as a whole person. He's interested in every part of who we are. You know, it says in the gospels how Jesus came to give us life and life to the full. Jesus came to give each one of you life and life to the full. You know, he promised to walk with you in every part of your life so you don't have to be by yourself. That's what it's about. You know, so often, sometimes in the Christian world, we can just make it all about how good the meeting was. Was it a good enough preach? Was the worship good enough? Am I getting this, that or the other? And, you know, we want this community to be the best that it can possibly be. But the thing that I most care about is the fact that this is a community of love. That we love God, that we're loving each other, and we're loving the world around us. If we're doing that, then everything else is going to be good. That's all that I care about. And so, you know, that's why we really want to look deep into what it means to be a people of love. And that's why we're going into 1 Corinthians 13 in detail. So let's just start off by, if you've got your Bibles with you, if you want to go to 1 Corinthians 13, it's in the New Testament, towards the end of the Bible. If you don't have a Bible with you, don't worry. Maybe you can share one with someone near you. And I just want to read it from verse 4, just so that we all know what passage we're talking about. So it's 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. It says, love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag, and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Sorry, we haven't got the stand up at the moment, so I'm going to use this as my little stand. So I'm looking at love is kind. And you know, we want to really delve deep into what that really means as we're looking at these things, because we can just think love is just this woo, nicey, nicey thing that we do. But actually, love is just so phenomenal, and we need to really understand what love is. We need our minds to be renewed by it so that we will live a different way. And the best way for us to understand what it means when it says love is kind is to understand the kindness of God. Because as we understand and experience the kindness of God ourselves, so we'll be able to be kind to other people. It's as simple as that. And, you know, when we understand the kindness of God, it is so phenomenal that it just blows us away. And so I just want us to look at some passages around the kindness of God. So let's start off by going to Ephesians 4. So Ephesians is also in the New Testament. So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for you, us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. So Paul wrote this letter to the church in Ephesus, and he's saying to them to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you, and to be imitators of God. So we get this whole thing again that, you know, we are kind because God has shown his kindness to us, that we imitate the God who is love, the God who forgives us, who shows his kindness to us, and therefore we are able to be kind. It's really important that we remember that, because we can get into a thought process where we think it's about striving. It's about trying to be better in our own strength, a kind of feeling bad about ourselves because we're not as kind as we want to be, or we're not this and we're not that. And the only way that is going to change in our hearts is as we experience the kindness of God, as we spend time with God, as we get to know God, you know, through reading the word, spending time with him, through learning about him through other people around us. As that happens, that so influences us, so that Paul can actually say, be imitators of God, be kind, just as in the way that Christ has been kind to you. So, you know, as we're going for this whole thing of becoming, wanting to create even more of a culture in our community of being loving and being kindness, if we want to learn what that means, then we need to go to God and learn about his kindness. So I just want to really push that forwards as a really important thing for us to grasp hold of. It's not about us working it up in our own strength. It's about us experiencing the kindness of God. And if you're feeling like, oh, I've tried to experience the kindness of God and I don't really understand what you're trying to say, I don't get it, you know, I just feel like I'm stuck there, then I just want to encourage you, come and speak to me about it. We can explore it in more depth, because sometimes there are things that happen in our lives that become things that get us stuck, that become barriers to us experiencing the love of God, to us experience his kindness. And this is where we need each other to be there for each other and help us through those things, so those blockages can be unblocked and we can receive God's love. Okay, let's go to Romans 2. Verse 4. So again, this is Paul writing a letter to the church in Rome. And in verse 4 he says, or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? I love that verse. I love that bit where it says the kindness of God leads you to repentance. It's God in his kindness that comes to us, that he meets with us. And as he meets with us, that kind of encounter that we have with God leads us to repentance. And repentance means to change the way we think, to see it from the way that God views the world, and therefore, as a consequence of that, to live our lives differently. You know, who here can say, yeah, I had an encounter with God that led me to repentance? You know, it might have been the way you described it at the time, but you're like, yeah, God has come and he's met with me with his kindness, and it made me change the way I think. Anyone? Some people in the room? Yeah, good. And so that's what it is. It's God's kindness that comes to us and it causes us to think a different way. It helps us to see that, yes, he is the one true God. You know, that I actually was created to be in relationship with him. And I only work well, you know, by being in relationship with him. You know, every human being was created by the God who was love to be in relationship with him. And if we want to feel alive and do life well, we need to be in relationship with him. It's as simple as that. That's what we were created for. And it's his kindness that leads us to that revelation that causes us to change the way we think and therefore to live our lives differently. Okay, I just want us to look at two more verses of looking at God's kindness. So let's go to Exodus 34. Verse 6. So Exodus is at the beginning of the Bible. So basically we're reading a story here about Moses. And Moses was a man chosen by God to be a leader of God's people in that time. And at this point, you know, Moses, he loves God so much. You know, he loves being a friend of God. It talks about how Moses would meet with God face to face and talk to him like a friend would talk to another friend. Moses had the most amazing relationship with God. And, you know, Moses, he just wanted to know God so much. And so he asked God, you know, to show himself to him. And God said to Moses, you know, I can't show you the fullness of who I am. He wanted to see his face. He was like, if you see it, you'll die, because God's such a holy God. He's so awesome. It's like his human body wouldn't be able to take seeing him. And so he said to him, you know, if I'll hide you in the cliff of this rock and I'll let you see me, I'll kind of put my hand over there and you'll see some of me pass through. And so at this point, it says here in verse 6, the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands. So let's just look at that verse again. I just want to read that bit again. The Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth. You know, when God wanted to reveal who he was to Moses, this is how he revealed himself, as a compassionate God, as a gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth. I want to know a God like that. Do you want to? It's not a God who is like judging us, who is like telling us what's wrong with us, who's beating us into action. It's a God who is loving us. And through that love is enabling us to be who we've created to be. It's a God that's pouring out compassion on us, that's pouring out his grace on us and pouring out his kindness on us. This is the God that we love. This is who he is. And so we want to know and experience that. And we want us that to be modeled in our community so that as we're being who we are in the different places where we are, whether it's work, whether it's at uni, whether it's where we live, that we are actually so full of this God who is kind, that we are just pouring out that kindness to the people around them, us, and therefore showing people that God is a God who is love and he is kind. You know, I'm kind of repeating myself in various different ways, but I'm just trusting that Holy Spirit is doing something in our hearts so that we would have a revelation of God's kindness. Because I can try and say things the best I possibly can. I can say different words to us, but it's the Holy Spirit that leads us into the truth. It's the Holy Spirit that brings revelation. So as I'm speaking this out, I'm trusting that Holy Spirit is going to do something in our hearts where we understand the kindness of God. Okay, let's go to Psalm 13 just very quickly. Psalm's kind of in the middle of the Bible. So Anna was talking about the Psalms a little bit earlier, and you know, the Psalms are just such a great book to read because it's about people being real with God, expressing where they're at, but also finding God in the midst of that. And here we've got David, and you know, he's going through a really difficult time, and he says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my adversaries will rejoice when I am shaken. So David, he's like kind of expressed his heart to God. And, you know, he's in a desperate situation. But he says, but I have trusted in your loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. And, you know, David, he was able to go to God and be real with him, but in that place, discover who God was, discover that he was a God who was full of loving kindness, and that that was able to sustain him. And if you read the story of David, you'll find out that God did come through for him. He did deliver him from his enemies, and he became the king. If you read that story, if you don't know it, you'll discover more of what I'm talking about. But it's in that place where he was desperate before God. He went to God and he found out that he was a God of loving kindness that is able to sustain him through it. So, you know, I just kind of have waffled on a little bit about various times we can look in scripture where we see the kindness of God, just to really put that point through that actually, if we're going to discover what it means love is kind, if we're going to discover what it means in our own lives and for us as a community, then we need to discover the kindness of God. And if you're like thinking to yourself, you know, I don't really understand what you mean in that, but I kind of want to know more about it. Just say to God, God, I want to discover your kindness. I want to discover your love. And I tell you that if you say that to God, he's going to take you on a journey of helping you to discover that and to really know it. And then I just want to give us three examples in scripture where we see of kindness to give us some practical thoughts in our minds of what showing kindness might mean for us. And then after we've looked at these, I want us to spend a little bit of time thinking and maybe discussing just very briefly with the people around us. What does it mean for me? What does it mean in my day-to-day life for me to show kindness? And we're just going to share some stuff together, because it's in how we work this stuff out in the day-to-day of our lives that it becomes real to us. So let's just first of all go to Deuteronomy at the beginning of the Bible, chapter 22. And, you know, in Deuteronomy, we see that God talks to Moses and he gives them kind of like laws and guidelines for them in that time of how to live life. It's like they don't really know how to do it. And he gives them things that are going to be helpful for them, ways that are helpful for them to live in community. And so Deuteronomy 22 verse 1 says, "You shall not see your countryman's ox or his sheep straying away, and pay no attention to them. You shall certainly bring them back to your countrymen. If your countryman is not near you, or you do not know him, then you shall bring it home to your house, and it shall remain with you until your countryman looks for it. Then you shall restore it to him. Thus you shall do with his donkey, and you shall do the same with his garment. And you shall do likewise with anything lost by your countryman, which he has lost, and you have found. You're not allowed to neglect them. You shall not see your countryman's donkey or his ox fallen down on the way, and pay no attention to them. You shall certainly help him to raise them up." Now, probably not many of us are going to come across a donkey on the side of the road, but you never know. But I think this is like a really helpful passage for us to consider of thinking, what does this mean in our own lives? Because, you know, our culture can be selfish, not exclusively. We can all be quite selfish, not necessarily. I'm not talking about the culture of the journey. I'm talking about generally in our country. And, you know, we can, you know, we live in a kind of culture that's very individualistic and it's all about ourselves. But actually, we want to model something different whereby we'll go that extra mile. We'll actually look after people's stuff as though it was our own. We'll do whatever it is we need to do. And I know that this seems such an obvious thing to say, but actually it can be a real challenge in the busyness of our lives. So, you know, that's just one example, a practical example of what kindness can look like. Okay, Let's go on. Let's go to 1 Timothy, which is in the New Testament towards the end. Chapter 5, verse 3. Now again, we've got Paul, he's writing this, help if I've got the right book in front of me. Paul's writing this letter to Timothy, which is like someone that he was kind of mentoring. And, you know, he's giving him instructions on, again, it's like instructions on how to be in community together and like practical kind of things. And so he's talking to them about, you know, giving him some guidelines on this is a helpful way to look after widows in your community. So we're going to do 1 Timothy 5 verse 3. Honor widows who are widows indeed. So then he describes what he means by widows indeed. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, they must first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and to make some return to their parents. For this is acceptable in the sight of God. Now she who is a widow indeed, who has been left alone, has fixed her hope on God and continues in entreaties and prays night and day. But she who gives herself to wanton pleasure is dead even while she lives. Prescribe these things as well, so that they may be above reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. A widow is to be put on the list only if she is not less than 60 years old, having been the wife of one man, having a reputation for good works, and if she has brought up children, if she has shown hospitality to strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has assisted those in distress, and if she has devoted herself to every good work. But I think this is quite a funny little verse we're about to read. But refuse to put younger widows on the list, for when they feel sensual desires in disregard of Christ, they want to get married, thus incurring condemnation because they have set aside their previous pledge. At the same time, they also learn to be idle as they go around from house to house, and not merely idle, but also gossips and busybodies, talking about things not proper to mention. Therefore, I want younger widows to get married, bear children, keep house, and give the enemy no occasion for reproach. Okay, now that can seem a bit harsh, some of those things that Paul's saying, but I think we have to understand that he's speaking to a situation which is occurring and giving practical information. It's not necessarily that every person who's a young widow is being a busybody, but I think, you know, the reason I wanted to read this passage is because I wanted to say, you know, scripture is very practical in how we live together in community. And so Paul is giving Timothy, who's a young leader, some advice on how to go about it. He's saying things like, well, actually, those who are widows who've got other family, really the other family should be looking after them. And so you need to encourage them to look after them. So he's giving that practical information. He's saying people who are younger widows, actually, they probably do far better off to get married to someone else. So maybe you should encourage them to do that. But he's also saying people who maybe they don't have any family around to look after them. They've been, you know, they've served God for many years and now they're like over 60 and they need to be put on a list. And they had a list of widows and they would help them in very practical ways. And so we need to think as a community, you know, that's the whole thing of kindness, of how we help each other out in practical ways and help our community in practical ways, which we already endeavour to do. But these are the kind of things that when we're thinking about kindness, how it becomes very practical in community. It's not like a nice little airy fairy magical thing. It's something that's very practical in day to day of life, of how we're actually helping each other. And the last passage I want us to look at is 1 John 3, so it's just further on from 1 Timothy, towards the end. And this is John writing this book here. 1 John 3, verse 17 to 18. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. So again, we have another practical thing of showing kindness is actually if we have means to help other people around us, then we need to use those things for the good of others who need them. So just want to summarize what I've said. In some ways, what I've said is so simple, you know, maybe all of us could have said it, but actually these are the things that God is calling us to do, is to be a community that shows kindness, because that is a true reflection of who God is. You can make it all so complicated what it means to be a Christian, but it's very simple. It's to know love and to walk in it. And so as we learn what it means, as we learn and we experience the kindness of God, that will empower us to walk in kindness ourselves. You know, if you want to be the kindest person you can possibly be, you need to know the kindness of God for yourself, so it just flows out of you. And it's like, as you experience the kindness of God, it changes the way you think about things, it changes your heart, so therefore it changes the way you behave. And then it's like, then we work it out practically in community. What does it mean for us as a community to be kind? What does it mean when we're at work? What does it mean in our roads where we live? What does it mean at uni? You know, we really need to grapple with this stuff, because it's very simple, but it's very profound, and it's honouring to who God is. So what I want you to do is, if it's okay, if you feel comfortable with this, just spend the next few minutes with the people around your table or who are around you, and just share, if you want to, you know, maybe how this is challenging you and how you live your own life, or, you know, what you think it is for us as the Journey community here to be walking in kindness. And then it'll be really great to hear what some people think about that. So if you just want to spend the next few minutes just discussing that with the people around you. If you don't know each other, say hello. Well, it would just be really good to hear different people's thoughts on this. I know you haven't had very much time to talk about it. Who would like to share first?
So we all had some very interesting ideas. Mainly it was around three themes. First of all, is God's kindness is kind to everyone, friends and enemies, or people who aren't, you know. And then also it's kindness without reward, so an altruistic kindness, which doesn't expect anything in return. And then the last point was, which I think is really key, kindness is about giving good things, but then maybe it's about withholding things as well that aren't right, or rebuking things. And that's a kindness, because he knows the bigger picture, which we don't.
I thought you'd all be going to be buzzing to share. How about this table over here? Denise has got something good to say.
I'm so scared. I don't know. We recognise there's a natural kindness which people that aren't even, you know, don't know the Lord can have, although they're created in his image, so it's going to come out of them. But it's also seen with God's eyes, you know, when people aren't necessarily displaying, you know, their need, because of, you know, they, you know, maybe don't want to share. So it's, you know, asking God to show you. There's the, you know, that kindness. And also, kindness is actually, you know, meeting someone's needs can take an effort. It's an act of the will. So, you know, you can prepare yourself before you go out in the day to say, Lord, you know, show me the need, and, you know, I want to meet those, you know, meet that person's need, whether, even if it's just a kind word or something that, you know, you need to act upon. It is something that, you know, it is a selfless thing. And, you know, like you were sharing about, you know, society can be selfish. It actually takes an effort and, you know, being prepared to be that person that's going to meet that need. It's, you know, you have to, you know, actually make that decision. So.
I think that also kindness is something when you actually have to go out of your way to meet the need, not just something that you do every day or that seems like nothing that you are actually doing, but when it takes you away from what you usually do. For instance, I don't know, maybe, you know, you might have to, you usually go up the hill, but, you know, the Spirit of the Lord said, go down the hill, you know, go down the hill. You don't know who you're going, even though it's taking you out of your journey, You know, I think kindness is when you make an effort to go out of your journey to help someone, even though you might be inconvenienced.
We were kind of impacted by looking at the verses and seeing it, the wider context of all these images of God's kindness shown quite normally, with, like, it's kind of wedged in between God's righteous anger and how powerful he is, and then almost these, like, beautiful verses of actually God loves you, God's so kind to you. And then also we're quite humbled by the fact that he chooses to show his kindness through us when we don't deserve it, really.
Great. Any more? Any of the men?
Yeah.
Come on, Andy.
Chris and I, we were just saying that, like, sometimes, particularly talking about the idea of, like, community and, like, loving people and things, and sometimes it's really easy to kind of, like, love people, like, when you don't have to see them very often, and you can keep them at, like, arm's length. But actually, like, practically, taking it, like, from theory to theory, you actually have to live, like, in community with people, and, like, it can be, like, quite difficult. And we're talking, like, particularly about, like, families, and, like, especially, like, in kind of families and extended families, if something, like, there's a kind of breakdown in relationship there, then that can, like, just, like, contaminate everything, and there's always, like, factions spring up, and it's just, like, how to, like, continue, like, especially, like, yeah, kind of how to, like, keep on, like, loving people whilst not, you know, kind of compromising. Like, say, kind of, like, someone does say, well, it's like saying, like, I still love you, you're still welcome in the house, you still want to have a relationship, but, like, that was kind of wrong, and, like, being able to do that, being, like, an authentic community that can do that, and Chris said that.
So I was just saying, like, as we were talking about that, we were saying, like, how we need, like, the supernatural power of God's love inside of us to, like, love people past ourselves. Because we can, like Andy was saying, he was, like, sharing the story with me about how it's easy to love people that are doing nice things to you. But then if there's, like, things have happened and it's hard and the way they're acting towards you is difficult, then you need God's supernatural power to, like, love past yourself and receive kindness from God to give kindness. And we were talking about how, like, we freely receive from God to, like, freely give away. So that's kind of what we're saying.
Thank you, everyone, for sharing. So it's a simple message to be kind, but it is very, very powerful. And, you know, sometimes, you know, the media often picks up on, like, negative stuff of when churches or Christian groups are, like, being angry against some kind of thing in a horrible kind of way. You know what I'm talking about, how we sometimes, like, see images coming from other countries where they're picketing outside abortion clinics or all these kinds of things. And it doesn't seem to demonstrate to people that the loving kindness of God, because remember, it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. You know, if we want people to change their behaviours, then we want them to encounter his kindness, which will result in different life choices. And so that's what we want to be as a church here. As we're engaging with our community in Enkerfield Green, at Royal Holloway, wherever we live, you know, when we're at work, when we're at uni, when we're at school, wherever it may be, we want to be people who are demonstrating the kindness of God so that those people have an encounter with it that's going to change stuff for them. And so that's what we want to go for as a community. So I would encourage you to take this seriously and ask the Holy Spirit to show you what it means for you in your day-to-day life and what it means for us as a community. And let's be a community who are walking in kindness. So yeah, I'm just going to pray and then I'll hand back to Tom. Yeah, Lord, I just thank you so much that you are God who is love. And that, Lord, you want your people to be representing you in that way as a people of love. And so, Holy Spirit, we just ask that you would teach us the way of love, that we as a community would learn to both experience your love on a day to day, but also to walk in it so that we can just pour out your love to the people around us. So Lord, I just want to pray that in our nation and beyond, that people will begin to know you as a God of love and not as a God of judgment, but as a God who primarily is about love. So yeah, Lord, we just pray your blessing over everyone. Amen.